Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hi there, Herman and Corin. So I'd love to get your thoughts on a topic, as usual. This time we're talking about news gathering for TV, the internet, whatever the case may be. We mentioned the lines are very blurry these days. When you think about TV crews, the image you probably have in mind is someone with a gigantic camcorder plus the guy on air, the woman on air. And then you've got a couple of additional people, like maybe someone operating lighting, maybe if it's a really major broadcast, someone doing the communications, especially in areas where there is not such reliable connectivity. So it's a team of people, but the big cameraman with the gigantic shoulder-mounted camera is a kind of classic image. When I was doing a YouTube channel or making my YouTube channel, which I really want to get back into, I was trying to think, what should I get? And I instantly kind of liked the idea of a camcorder. Not one of those big ENT shoulder mounted ones. Those things cost a ton. But a Canon camcorder that's a bit more flexible. It's called the XA40, and it's a wonderful, wonderful tool. Really, really love it. And learned through it a lot about sound collection. And yeah, it's great, basically. The one disadvantage, of course, is that it's kind of cumbersome. About 6 months ago, I upgraded to a new smartphone from OnePlus, and it's the first smartphone I've ever owned where the camera actually really impresses me, that I can shoot video or stills, get them into my computer, and look through them in the timeline. I'm like, hang on, this is almost good enough. And there's something very liberating and freeing about that, that you don't get with stuff like camcorders or even with big DSLRs for that matter. They say the best camera is the one you have in your pocket or the one you know how to use well. Different variations on that quote. And as much as I love my camcorder, I can't help but feel that I'm on the losing side of this argument, that it's true that we're going to see everything consolidate around these very smaller and smaller gadgets. Now, the smartphone isn't a total replacement, needless to say. For professional news gathering, you know, you need at some point, or you very much want to have external microphone support, you want to have lighting, but it gets you a surprisingly far stretch of the way, especially if you're getting something really good. So Herman and Corin, we have the ENT workhorses that seems to be quite a bit of a stagnant market. There's a few manufacturers and there isn't a tremendous amount of innovation there, but they're selling high-end gear with big single-purpose lenses, and the lenses themselves are colossally expensive. They do everything from, you know, ultra-telescopic through to ultra-wide. That's what you want in one of these huge lenses. It can do everything. But they're very expensive, they're very big, and therefore they're not very portable. And I think another important point, they're very conspicuous if you're trying to record somewhere and be discreet. So they have definite disadvantages. The DSLR was never really built for photography or mirrorless, to be a bit more of what's out there today. And I guess what I'm wondering is, where do you think the consolidation is going to happen? Do we already see news crews that are just ditching those big ENT camcorders for smaller form factors? And do you think it's credible that in the next few years, maybe not quite a smartphone, but we're going to see something as small as that, smaller and smaller tools used for capturing video content from wherever it's needed and integrating it into professional grade post-production workflows. Interested to know your thoughts, Herman and Corin, on the hardware behind the news we see in our TV screens and our laptops every day now. Do you think the camcorder is on its very quick way out? And what are we going to be seeing news crews wielding in the next few years?
Hey everyone, welcome back to My Weird Prompts. I am Corin, and as always, I am joined by my brother,
Herman Poppleberry, here and ready to dive into the gear.
It is great to be back in the studio, though after today's topic, I am starting to wonder if we even need a studio anymore, or if we could just run this whole operation off a couple of devices in our pockets.
Well, that is exactly what our housemate Daniel was asking about. He sent us a prompt about the evolution of news-gathering hardware. You know, that classic image of a three-person TV crew with a shoulder-mounted camera the size of a microwave, a dedicated sound person with a boom pole, and a reporter holding a mic with a big station logo on it. Daniel is noticing that smartphones are getting so good that they are starting to look like a viable replacement, especially for portability and being discreet. He wants to know where the hardware consolidation is headed. Are the big camcorders actually on their way out? And what will a professional news crew look like in the next few years?
This is such a great question because we're sitting right at a massive inflection point here in early 2026. If you look at the industry data from just the last year, the shift is undeniable. For decades, the electronic news gathering, or ENG camera, was the undisputed king. You needed it for the physical ports, the internal neutral density filters, the massive batteries, and the reliability of a dedicated hardware cooling system. But the walls are closing in on that form factor from two different directions. You have the high-end mirrorless hybrids coming up from the bottom, and you have the mobile journalism, or mojo, movement taking over the speed and immediacy side of things.
It is interesting you mention the physical requirements. Daniel actually mentioned his own experience with the Canon XA40. That is a compact prosumer camcorder that has been a workhorse for years. It has those professional XLR audio inputs and a 20x optical zoom, which is something phones still struggle to match purely through glass. But even a specialized tool like that is starting to feel the pressure, right?
Absolutely. The XA40 is a perfect example of the middle ground that is getting squeezed. It has a 1 over 2.3-inch sensor. To put that in perspective for our listeners, that is actually smaller than the main sensors on the flagship smartphones we are seeing in 2026, like the iPhone 17 Pro Max or the latest Xiaomi flagships. When you have a phone with a 1-inch type sensor and computational photography doing real-time noise reduction and dynamic range expansion, a small sensor camcorder from 7 years ago starts to look a bit grainy by comparison.
So if the sensor size isn't the hurdle anymore, what is? Is it just the glass and the ergonomics? Because I see reporters using these elaborate rigs for their phones now, with cages and external microphones and lights. At that point, are you actually saving any space or portability?
That is the irony of the consolidation, Korn. We are consolidating the brain of the operation into the phone, but the physics of light and sound haven't changed. You still need a large aperture for low light, you still need a long focal length for compression and reach, and you still need a high-quality microphone capsule to get clean audio in a noisy environment. But here is where it gets really interesting in 2026. We are seeing a move toward what I like to call the software-defined camera.
Meaning the hardware stays simple, but the capabilities are updated like an app?
Exactly. Think about how we used to have dedicated satellite trucks just to get a signal back to the station. Now, we have bonded cellular technology integrated with low Earth orbit satellite links. A reporter can carry a Starlink Mini in their backpack. It is about the size of a laptop and get gigabit class speeds anywhere on Earth. In fact, a recent report from the Reuters Institute showed that 82% of news-gathering cases are now using some form of AI or cloud-integrated workflow. We are moving from a world of hardware boxes to a world of data streams.
I want to go back to something Daniel mentioned about being discreet. He talked about how big cameras are conspicuous. If you are reporting from a sensitive protest or a high-tension area, a giant shoulder-mount camera practically screams for attention, and not always the good kind. Does the shift to smaller form factors change the actual nature of the news we get?
It changes everything. It is the observer effect in physics, right? The act of observing a thing changes the thing. When a massive news crew rolls up, people start performing for the camera, they get defensive, or they start grandstanding. But a reporter with a small mirrorless camera like a Sony FX3 or even just a high-end smartphone can blend into the crowd. They become a participant observer. We saw this at the Sundance documentaries earlier this year. The Sony FX6 and the Canon C70 were the most used cameras, specifically because they allow for that level of discretion while still providing a cinema-grade image. And the iPhone was listed in the credits for several major documentaries as a primary capture device. That would have been unthinkable for a professional production a decade ago.
That is fascinating. So the big shoulder camcorder isn't just dying because of tech, it is dying because it is a social barrier. But Herman, let's talk about the next few years. If the consolidation continues, do we eventually reach a point where the form factor is just a pair of glasses or a wearable? Or do we still need that tactile, physical object to hold on to?
I think we are headed toward a modular future. The idea of a single integrated camcorder that does everything is probably on its way out for news gathering. Instead, think of the camera as a node in a network. You might have a high-quality optical module, basically just a lens and a sensor that clips onto your phone or a specialized handheld brain. We are already seeing the first wave of cameras with square sensors. It sounds weird until you realize that news is now consumed 50-50 between horizontal TV screens and vertical social media feeds. A square sensor allows you to crop for both formats without losing resolution or having to rotate the camera. Apple even started experimenting with this on their front-facing sensors last year.
That is a brilliant solution to a very modern problem. I hadn't even thought about the vertical video aspect of news gathering. It must be a nightmare for traditional crews to have to shoot for the 6 o'clock news and TikTok at the same time.
It is. Right now, they often have to shoot two separate takes or use these awkward dual camera rigs. Consolidation in 2026 is about making that workflow seamless. We are seeing AI agents built directly into the camera firmware now. They can handle things like auto framing, where the camera stays focused on the subject even if the reporter is moving around, or real-time transcription and metadata tagging. Imagine a reporter in the field, as they are talking, the camera is transcribing their words, tagging the location, identifying the people in the frame using facial recognition, and uploading all of that as a searchable package to the newsroom in real time. The editor back at the station can start cutting the story before the reporter even finishes the interview.
So the gear is becoming smarter, but is it becoming more reliable? One of the reasons people love those old camcorders like the one Daniel mentioned is that they just work. You flip a switch and it records. No software updates, no battery drain from background apps, no overheating because of a complex operating system.
That is the big hurdle. Reliability is the last bastion of the traditional camcorder. A dedicated video camera has a physical heatsink and a fan. A smartphone trying to record 4K video in the sun will shut down after 15 minutes. That is why I don't think the professional form factor disappears entirely, it just shrinks. We will see more devices that look like the latest compact cinema cameras, small enough to fit in a jacket pocket, but with the thermal management and dedicated controls of a pro tool.
It sounds like we are moving toward a world where the distinction between a professional and a creator is less about the gear they carry and more about the infrastructure they are plugged into. If I have the same phone as a BBC reporter, but they have a direct high-speed link to a global newsroom and an AI assistant doing their logging, that is where the real professional edge lies.
Spot on. The hardware is being democratized, but the workflow is being specialized. And that brings us to the psychological side of things. There is still a certain authority that comes with a big camera. If you show up to a press conference with a smartphone, you might get pushed to the back. If you show up with a rig that looks like a piece of serious machinery, people give you space. It is a signal of intent. I think we will see professional gear maintain a certain aesthetic weight, even if the internals are essentially the same as a smartphone.
Like a digital version of a suit and tie for your technology.
Exactly. It is a badge of office. But for the actual work of gathering information, Daniel is right. The days of the massive crew are numbered. We are seeing a rise in the solo video journalist who does it all. And they are doing it with tools that are faster, lighter, and more connected than anything we have ever seen.
This has been a really deep dive into the guts of the news industry. I think we should take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk about the practical takeaways for people who aren't professional reporters. If you are a creator like Daniel, trying to decide between a camcorder and a smartphone, what are the actual benchmarks you should be looking at in 2026?
Oh, I have some numbers for that. Let's dig into the sensor tech and the codecs when we get back.
Right, we will be right back.
And while we are away, if you have been enjoying the show, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a quick review on your podcast app. It genuinely helps other people find the show and helps us keep these deep dives going.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. We will be back in a moment on My Weird Prompts. And we are back. We are talking about the evolution of news hardware, the death of the big camcorder, and the rise of the high-tech, consolidated future of journalism. Herman, before the break, you mentioned some specific benchmarks. If our housemate Daniel is looking at his Canon XA40 and comparing it to the latest flagship phone, what are the actual technical gaps he needs to be aware of?
Right, so let's get into the weeds. The biggest gap in 2026 isn't actually resolution. Almost everything shoots 4K now, and some are pushing to 6K or 8K. The real battle is in bit depth and dynamic range. Most older camcorders, even prosumer ones, were limited to 8-bit video. That means they can only record about 16 million colors. Modern professional workflows, and even the latest flagship phones, are moving to 10-bit or even 12-bit log recording. 10-bit gives you over a billion colors.
A billion? That seems like overkill for a news clip on a small screen.
It isn't about the final screen, it is about the flexibility in editing. If you are shooting in a high contrast environment, say, a bright sunny day with deep shadows, 8-bit video will blow out the highlights or crush the shadows into black mush. 10-bit log allows you to preserve that detail so you can bring it back in post-production. Smartphones have caught up here because of computational photography. They are doing multiple exposures in real time and stitching them together before the file is even saved. A traditional camcorder like the XA40 has a single exposure per frame, so it has to rely on the physical size of the sensor to capture that dynamic range.
So the phone is using math to make up for the lack of glass?
Essentially, yes. But here is where the camcorder still wins, the lens. Daniel mentioned the zoom on his Canon. A typical pro camcorder has a 20x or even 30x optical zoom. Smartphones use multiple fixed lenses and then digital zoom to bridge the gap. In 2026, we are seeing some amazing periscope lenses on phones, but they still can't match the smooth, continuous optical zoom of a dedicated lens. If you are a news reporter standing 100 yards away from a crime scene behind a police line, you need that optical reach. Digital zoom just falls apart at those distances.
That makes sense. You can't math your way into more photons if the lens can't see them. What about audio? That is usually the first thing people notice when they move from a pro camera to a phone.
Audio is the secret weapon of the camcorder. Those XLR inputs Daniel mentioned are crucial. They provide phantom power to professional microphones, which have much lower self-noise and much better directional pickup than anything you can plug into a USB-C port on a phone without a bulky adapter. However, the consolidation is happening there too. We are seeing these tiny wireless dual-channel microphone systems that are the size of a postage stamp. They sync directly with the phone or the camera and provide professional-grade audio with zero cables, so the camcorder's advantage of having the audio deck built in is fading as the wireless tech gets more reliable.
It sounds like the camcorder is becoming a bit of a legacy format, like a specialized tool for specific long-range or long-duration jobs, while the general news gathering is moving to these hybrid, smaller devices.
Exactly. And the most interesting second-order effect of this is the democratization of the news. When the gear costs $50,000 and requires a 3-person crew, only big networks can cover the news. When the gear is in everyone's pocket or costs $1,500 for a pro-level hybrid setup, you get a much more diverse range of perspectives. We are seeing independent journalists and small local outfits producing content that looks just as good as the national broadcasts.
But does it feel as credible? We talked about the authority of the big camera. If everyone can do it, does the value of the professional reporter go down?
I think it actually raises the bar for the reporting itself. You can't rely on the big camera to prove you are a professional anymore. You have to rely on your ethics, your sourcing, and your storytelling. The gear is becoming invisible, which means the journalist has to be more visible than ever. We are seeing traditional newsrooms actually encourage their staff to become platform personalities. They want their reporters to act more like creators, because that is where the audience is. In fact, 96% of publishers in a recent survey said they are now utilizing public cloud services to support these creator-style workflows this year.
That is a massive shift. It is almost like the technology is forcing a cultural change in how news is even defined. It isn't just a report, it is a conversation.
And that brings us to the future. If we look ahead 2 or 3 years, I think the consolidation, Daniel asked about will result in a device we don't quite have a name for yet. It won't be a phone, and it won't be a camcorder. It will be a dedicated, cloud-native capture device. It will have a high-quality lens, a large sensor, and no internal storage. Everything will be streamed or cached to the cloud instantly. It will have built-in AI for real-time translation and editing. And most importantly, it will be modular. You will be able to wear it, hold it, or mount it on a drone in seconds.
A capture node. I like that. It removes the friction between seeing an event and sharing it with the world. But I have to ask, what happens to the human element? If an AI is framing the shot and transcribing the words, and an editor in a different country is cutting the film in real time, what is the reporter actually doing?
They are doing the one thing the machine can't do yet. They are building trust. They are looking people in the eye, asking the tough questions, and providing context. The hardware consolidation is a good thing because it gets the technology out of the way. It lets the reporter focus on the story instead of the settings.
That is a very optimistic take, Herman. I hope you are right. Because as much as I love a good spec sheet, the news is ultimately about people.
It always has been. The gear just helps us tell the story. And for someone like Daniel, who is already experimenting with these different form factors, the advice is simple. Don't get hung up on the pro label. Use the tool that lets you get the shot without being noticed, and make sure your audio is clean. Whether that is your XA40 or your phone with a good mic, the story is what will stick.
Well, I think that is a perfect place to wrap things up. Daniel, thanks for the prompt. It really got us thinking about how much our own setup has changed over the years.
Yeah, it is a wild ride. I am already looking at my old cameras and feeling a bit nostalgic, but the future looks pretty bright, and pretty small.
If you want to see more about the gear we discussed or get in touch with us, you can head over to our website at myweirdprompts.com. We have an RSS feed there for subscribers and a contact form if you want to send us your own weird prompts.
And don't forget we're on Spotify too. If you haven't already, hit that follow button so you never miss an episode.
This has been My Weird Prompts. I am Korn.
And I am Herman Poppleberry.
Thanks for listening. And we will talk to you next time.
Stay curious, everyone. Goodbye.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.